السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن سيدنا محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, on the 10th of the month of Dhul Hijjah, on the day of sacrifice, a young and handsome companion by the name of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas was given a unique privilege, and that privilege was for him to be Radifu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of those select few of around a dozen companions who were honored to ride behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a camel. He was one of those dozen or so honored with this privilege. So on that day, the day of the great sacrifice, as he was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped the camel so he could answer people's questions as they were walking by. So as he stopped to answer some questions that people had, Al-Fadl ibn Abbas saw a very beautiful woman who came up to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about some fiqhi legal matters. So as he's answering this beautiful woman, Al-Fadl, sitting behind him, looks over and begins staring at her, gazing at her. And the Prophet ﷺ realized exactly what he was doing. And so he turned around and saw that Al-Fadl was staring at this young lady. And he held his hand out backwards over to the chin of Al-Fadl, and he turned his head in the opposite way so that he was not gazing at her. This narration is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And you see here that the Prophet ﷺ did not curse Al-Fadl, he did not chastise him. He knew this was completely normal, it was completely natural that one would be attracted to the opposite gender. But he guided him to lower his gaze by gently correcting him and moving his face in the opposite direction. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the first Jumu'ah of the blessed month of Ramadan, the month of abstaining from not just food and drink, but also the sins that we take in through our other senses, including the sense of sight. In the Arabic language, the word fasting, sawm, means imsak, which is to refrain, to abstain, to withhold from something. And legally speaking, in Sharia, we know that fasting is to abstain from food and drink and other things that would break the fast from Fajr to Maghrib. But more broadly, fasting is supposed to develop our taqwa. It's supposed to build our self-discipline so that we do imsak, abstaining from the haram with all of our senses. And perhaps there is no sense of the human senses that are more challenged than the sense of sight. And that is especially the case for men. One of the great blessings of Allah Ta'ala upon us is that He has gifted us with the faculty of sight. Because it is through the eyes that we are able to observe His creation. It is with the gift of eyesight that we are able to register the images of the ayat in creation that He asks us to reflect upon. And in the Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah jalla wa ala says that the eyes are the dear ones. In the Hadith Qudsi, Allah jalla wa ala said, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ فَصَبَرَ عَوَدْتُهُ مِنْهُمَ الْجَنَّةِ. When I afflict my servant, when I test my servant with respect to his two dear things, meaning his right eye and left eye, if he loses his sight and he endures patiently with that, I shall compensate him with paradise. And here you see how Allah refers to the faculty of sight as Habibatay, his two beloveds, his right and left eye. One of the great scholars in our tradition by the name of Imam Ibn Qattan al-Fasi, who wrote a very large work just on the rulings connected with the eyes, Ahkam al-Nadr. He says about the faculty of sight that the sense of sight is one of the doors to the heart, and it is the most well-trodden path leading to the heart. And after the act of breathing, the faculty of sight is the most frequently used part of a person's body. You're always breathing, but you're not always looking when you're sleeping or you have your eyes closed. But otherwise, our eyes are darting here and there, registering images, seeing this, seeing that, looking at so many things. It's in constant activity. Now, many Muslims find, as they come into the month of Ramadan year after year, that after a couple of days of fasting, after a couple of days of going without food and drink, it becomes easier. It becomes relatively easy and manageable to withhold from food and drink. They get into a flow where fasting becomes normal. But what remains as a challenge for many is fasting with the eyes and fasting with the ears. And for this reason, we have to talk about the fast of the eyes, which is in lowering the gaze. غض البصر. Our starting point is in the words of Allah Jalla wa Ala, who says in the chapter of light, Surah An-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. He says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the believing men that they must lower their gazes and safeguard their private parts. That is pure for them. Indeed, Allah is all aware of what they do. We see that this ayah is addressing the mu'minun, the believing men. And yes, it is true that between men and women, men are visual creatures. And the main avenue for attraction for us men and desire is through the eyes. But this command to lower the gaze is not restricted to men, because we see in the very next verse, Allah Ta'ala addresses the believing women. And He says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And say to the believing women that they must lower their gazes and safeguard their private parts. So this command to lower the gaze is shared between men and women. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the city of Medina was not as it is today. Today, Medina is a very large city compared to what it used to be in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. If we were to go back in time and see the city for what it was back then, we would understand that it was like a very small town. That means there were no clubs and gyms and restaurants and dedicated spaces just for hanging out or for recreation. And what that means is that for people who wanted to hang out and just talk, just chat and catch up with what's going on, they didn't have special places they would go to besides certain properties or the turuqat, the roads or the passageways between the blocks of homes around the masjid. And one time the Prophet ﷺ said to some of the companions, he says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ. Beware of sitting on the roadsides. Avoid sitting on the roadsides. But the Sahaba, not wanting to object, they wanted to ask, well, what is the alternative? If this is where we always hang out and catch up with what's going on, what other alternative do we have if we want to spend time with each other? And so they said, Ya Rasulullah, there's no other alternative but to sit there and talk. And to this the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you must sit on the roadsides, then give the road its right, its haqq. The open public spaces. Give the road its right. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, what are the rights of the road? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ, lowering the gaze, وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى, refraining from doing anything that causes harm or annoyance to others, وَرَدُّ السَّلَامِ, and returning and responding to the greeting of peace when someone gives you salam. And then he says, وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. These are collectively the rights of open public passageways, general areas for people. So we have the first of the items, the first of the rights is غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ. Just because you're in an open public place does not give you the right to stare and look at the opposite gender. And this applies to men and women. And this command is for everyone, regardless of their age, but it's especially pertinent for young people. And by young people, shabab, that extends upwards into 40 and maybe even beyond. Desires are obviously going to be stronger in younger people than they are in older people. That's basic biology. And knowing this reality, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam addressed the young people in the community and said, Ya ma'shara al-shabab, O youth, O young people, whoever among you can marry should marry, because it helps him lower his gaze and guard his modesty. And whoever is not able to marry should fast. They should fast, as fasting diminishes sexual desire. And this is true. Fasting diminishes desire, but it does not remove it entirely. That is observable. Fasting does help in diminishing desire, reducing desire, but it does not remove it altogether. And that is why you people find in Ramadan that although they're fasting, they still struggle with lowering their gaze. They still struggle with avoiding looking at things and seeing things that are on their phone or on billboards or in the grocery store or interacting with coworkers or classmates. They still struggle with the gaze even though they're fasting. Now, the default ruling in the Deen of Al-Islam is that one should lower their gaze from all non-mahrams, those who are not mahram. Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu relates, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the nadra, which is the sudden glance, that first look a person gets at the opposite gender. I asked him about this nadra, the sudden glance at the non-mahram, and he commanded me that I should avert my eyes. What this means is that you are not responsible, you're not sinful for seeing the opposite gender in that first glance. But it is a glance, it is a nadra, after which you're ordered to lower your gaze. And that nadra is not a long extended nadra. You can't say, okay, I'm getting my first glance and the glance lasts for 3 minutes. And I'm just looking for 3 minutes straight without moving my eyes and then I lower it. That's not how it works. The nadra is masdar marra. It is a noun designating that it happens once and once only. And it's not extended. Because if it's extended, it becomes nadarat. So this is the reality. You have the first glance and that's it. There's a weak hadith that the ulama have mentioned when discussing lowering the gaze, although it's a weak hadith and we don't ascribe it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the meaning is sound. And this is a narration found in Ibn Hibban's collection. And it says, An-nadra sahmun masmum min sihami iblis. Or, An-nadr sahmun masmum min sihami iblis. The unrestrained glance at the opposite gender is a poisoned arrow from the arrows of Iblis himself. The unrestrained glance, the unrestrained look at the opposite gender, checking them out, is a metaphorical poisoned arrow from the arrows of Iblis. And the narration continues, whoever forsakes it, whoever desists from that out of fear of Allah, he shall be replaced, that act of looking will be replaced with halawatul iman, with sweetness of faith that he will find in his heart. This meaning is true. The unrestrained glance is a poisoned arrow because once you're struck with that metaphorical arrow, it gives rise to desire. And that desire is either going to be met or it's not going to be met. And if it is met, it is either met in a way that is halal or it is met in a way that is haram. And if it is unmet, then that desire that is unmet will move on to other haram practices. And it's like a self-torture, where a person is looking at things they have no access to. They're just torturing themselves, looking at the haram, things they have no access to. It just increases them in hasarat, in regret and remorse and anxiety. Now, one of the greatest discussions on this issue of lowering the gaze is found in a work by Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, Al-Jawab al-Kafi, the sufficient answer, in which he was asked a question about a person who struggles with desires, who wrestles with haram desires, makes tawbah but falls back into them over and over again. And they're afraid that if they continue along that path, they will be utterly ruined. But no matter what they do to get rid of them, they always go back to them. So that was the question put to him, and he wrote a whole book as an answer. And in his discussion, in his answer, he talked extensively about the problems and dangers of the unrestrained glance, looking at the haram. And he cites a lot of beautiful, wise poetry that describes this reality. In one line of poetry he cited, it says, كُلُّ الْحَوَادِثِ مَبْدَأُهَا مِنَ النَّظَرِ وَمُعْظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغِرِ الشَّرَرِ كَمْ نَظْرَةً بَلَغَتْ مِنْ قَلْبِ صَاحِبِهَا كَمَبْلَغِ السَّهْمِ بَيْنَ الْقَوْسِ وَالْوَتَرِ. The starting point of all sins begins with the gaze, because the eye see it, and then the heart covets it. And the majority of hell is filled with those who minimize the harms of evil. How many a gaze reached a person's heart like an arrow fired from a bow? Ibn Qayyim explains this poem and says, the soul is put to trial, it is put to fitna, and loves to look at beautiful forms. And the eye is the ra'id, it's like the guide to the heart. And the heart commissions it to go and look to see what is out there. And when the eye informs it of a beautiful image, it shudders out of desire for that image. And this just tires the person out because they don't have access. And if they have access, it's haram access. And so he goes on to mention more poetry, where a person is speaking about the one who struggles with the gaze. He says, وَكُنْتَ مَتَى أَرْسَلْتَ طَرْفَكَ رَائِدًا لِقَلْبِكَ يَوْمًا أَتْعَبَتْكَ الْمَنَاظِرُ رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي لَا كُلَّهُ أَنْتَ قَادِرٌ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا أَعْمْ بَعْضِهِ أَنْتَ صَابِرُ. He says, when you sent your eye as a guide for your heart one day, the object of sight fatigued you, it tired you out, because you saw something over which you had no power, and over whom you could not resist patiently either all of it or a portion of it. So a person is looking at things they should not be looking at, to which they have no real access, and it just tires out the heart. That is the reality of the gaze. This means that if you discipline yourself and build the habit of lowering the gaze, where that becomes the norm, you actually find your heart get some relief from going through the arduous task of seeking and desiring and trying to put out the flames of desire each time. But here's the challenge, dear brothers and sisters. We're talking about lowering the gaze, particularly in the month of Ramadan, but we recognize that the gaze, the desire to look at the opposite gender, is actually a completely normal biological function. It's completely normal. There's no denying that. But it has to be directed to what is pleasing to Allah, to what He has made halal, and not what He has made haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has told us as an ummah that the gaze, struggling with the gaze, is a universal struggle that everyone's going to have to deal with. Everyone's going to have to wrestle with lowering the gaze. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that the son of Adam has been destined his nasib, his share of zina, of fornication, which he will inevitably acquire. And now here he's not speaking about the literal zina. He's talking about the other forms that occur through the senses. He says the son of Adam has been destined his share of fornication, which he will inevitably acquire. The eyes, he said, fornicate by looking. The ears fornicate by listening. The tongue fornicates by speaking. The hand fornicates by touching. The foot fornicates by stepping to the haram. And the heart loves and wishes, and the genitals either confirm that or deny that. This is a reality, dear brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He knows the subtleties of the gaze within every human being, that people are looking at this and that even when their friends and companions have no idea of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the sly glances and whatever the hearts conceal. He knows the sly glances, the side glances here and there, and whatever the hearts conceal. According to the interpreter of the Quran, al-Sahabi al-Jalil, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he talked about this ayah, and he gives a very profound tafsir. He says, this verse refers to the man who is sitting with others. He's sitting with his friends. And when a woman passes by, he looks at her. He checks her out. But when his friends look at him, he quickly lowers his gaze. So when he's with his friends, he doesn't want them to get the impression that he's staring at her and checking her out. But when they're over here looking and talking, they're not looking at his eyes, he's stealing a glance here and there. But when he notices them looking at him, he goes right back to lowering his gaze. This is what, according to Ibn Abbas, is kha'inatul a'yun, the deception of the eyes, the sly glances. So we have to recognize this, dear brothers and sisters, that this is going to be a struggle, but Allah rewards us for the struggle. And it is a biological desire He has placed in us, but it has to have a halal outlet. Just as we fast from food and drink, which are halal, we are to fast from looking at the haram in Ramadan, but also outside of Ramadan. We are not accountable for the first glance. We are accountable for what follows the first glance. Unintentional glances and seeing things in our peripheral vision are excused. And everything goes back to one's intention. And for this reason, one should not lose hope. One should not feel overwhelmed by their surroundings, because you're only accountable for what you choose to look at. You're not accountable for what passes your sight that you then turn away from. Dear brothers and sisters, it is very possible that as we come into this month of Ramadan, that we only gain from it hunger and thirst. And this is the case for the person who fasts, but does not control their tongue from gossip and slander. And it can also apply to the person who is fasting from food and drink, but is not fasting with their eyes from the haram. So I advise myself and all of you to not let us spoil the rewards and blessings of fasting and deny ourselves the benefits of fasting in Ramadan by unrestrained glances, whether it's looking at the opposite gender in person, or on one's phone, or on TV, or anywhere it may be. The senses are the doors to the heart. And if we're closing one door through fasting, but we leave the other doors open, letting toxic waste of sin enter our heart, our fasting will be trifling and weak. Our fast will not have much impact on us. All we will have is hunger and thirst. May Allah give us a true fast in this month of Ramadan and forevermore, and make us of those people whom Allah Ta'ala has destined to lower their gaze and to have modesty in their interactions. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. كما يحب ربنا ويرضى والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, earlier in the first khutbah, I referenced the work of Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah in his work Al-Jawab al-Kafi, where he talks about the dangers of the unrestrained gaze. In that same work, after talking about the dangers of the unrestrained gaze, he talked about the virtues of lowering the gaze. And he mentions a number of benefits that I would like to share with you as a reminder for myself and for all of you as we move forward in Ramadan, hopefully with a renewed commitment to not just fast from food and drink, but also fast from what comes through our eyes. Imam Ibn Qayyim mentions that among the benefits of lowering the gaze is that, number one, it is obedience to Allah Ta'ala. That is sufficient. It is obedience to Allah Ta'ala because he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to the believing men and the women to lower their gazes. Number two, by lowering the gaze, you are preventing the poisoned arrows of shaitan from reaching your heart. You are preventing the toxic waste of haram entering through your eyes. Number three, by lowering the gaze, you are strengthening your heart and enabling it to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By letting the gaze wander here and there and looking at the haram, you will distract your heart and fill it with images. Think about the things that you have seen growing up as a young person, as a teenager, as a young adult until now. The images that you have seen 15, 20, 30 years ago, if you just imagine for a moment, you can quickly bring them back up. The images that come into our heart seldom leave easily. So by preventing them from coming in, we protect our hearts from these images. The next benefit, number four, he says lowering the gaze actually brings life to the heart. While looking at the haram deadens the heart. People wonder, why am I not moved by the dhikr of Allah? Why am I not moved when I hear the Quran recited or when I recite it? Why am I not moved when I hear death in the day of judgment and Jannah and Jahannam? Why do I feel that my heart is like stone? It's been deadened because of images. It's been deadened because of looking at the haram. Number five, he said, lowering the gaze brings light to the heart. Life, and it brings light to the heart. Just as looking at the haram brings darkness to the heart. And it is not a coincidence, dear brothers and sisters, that the verses that talk about lowering the gaze are revealed in Surah An-Nur, the chapter of light. And right after the verses mention lowering the gaze, right after those verses comes Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Ayatul Nur is revealed right after. Number six, he says, by lowering your gaze, it generates basira, insight, the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Number seven, it strengthens one's will. When a person has unrestrained glances looking at the haram, their will is weakened over time. But by lowering the gaze, forcing one to abstain, they strengthen their will, and that strong will can be applied to so many other things of benefit. Number eight, he says, it blocks shaitan from entering the heart. And number nine, the final one, he says, between the eyes and the heart, there is a connection, a rabt, which means that one is affected by the other. The eyes impact the heart, and the heart impacts the eyes. So if the heart becomes corrupt, then the gaze becomes corrupt, looking at the haram, searching for the haram. And if the gaze becomes corrupt, then that corrupts the heart. So there's a reciprocal relationship. If you want a strong heart, you have to guard your gaze. If you want to guard your gaze, you have to strengthen your heart. Let this, dear brothers and sisters, be a part of our Ramadan fasting, not just staying away from food and drink. Let it be a fasting from haram images, curtailing the gaze, the unrestrained gaze, and the things that enter our senses, bringing toxic waste to our souls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us more than just hunger and thirst. May He give us a Ramadan that enables us to remove whatever toxicity has built up over the past year and to block the avenues of evil and things that cause destruction to our souls. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ زَيْنِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْأَخْيَارِ وأكرم من أظلم عليه ليل وأشرق عليه النهار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله